Welcome, members and guests, to the March 18th program of the City Club of Eugene, working together to build a better Bethel. I'm James Baldock, City Club President. Our sponsors today are Sacred Earth Botanicals, professional massage therapy products with a focus on certified organic ingredients, environmentally friendly packaging, and sustainable business practices. KRVM 91.9 FM, enriching the quality of life and enhancing the variety of music in our community. And Marilyn Milne at the Public Relations Services, communications that work. Special thanks go to KPFF Consulting Engineers for supplying our office space and to KLCC Radio for airing these programs at 6:30 on Monday nights and for archiving the podcasts on their site. We'd also like to thank Community Television of Lane County for televising recent City Club programs Monday through Friday at noon, Monday through Saturday at noon, and Sunday at 9 p.m. We host nearly 50 original nonpartisan issue programs every year, and today is our 22nd program in our 2015-2016 programming year. If you believe with us that civic engagement is the lifeblood of democracy, please join us. We welcome anyone who has a stake in community life. To make a special announcement and introduce today's speakers is Mary Layton, the program coordinator.
Hi. We are happy to announce that on Monday, March 14th, Eugene City Council passed by unanimous vote a resolution naming the second Monday of October as Indigenous Peoples Day. Councilor Chris Pryor, Ward 8, presented the resolution, and Councilor Greg Evans moved to approve it. Approval of the resolution was the result of long and hard work of the City of Eugene Human Rights Commission with the strong support of student activists and Native American student unions on the University of Oregon and LCC campuses. Back in October 2015, Human Rights Commissioner Phil Carrasco, who is also a City Club member, developed the original resolution for the Human Rights Commission to adopt and promote. A subcommittee of the Human Rights Commission was formed to finalize the draft. At the same time, young adult activists in the Native community had begun the conversation around Indigenous Peoples Day in Eugene. The HRC partnered with youth and other community members at the university, crafting the resolution until it included all the points they viewed as essential. On February 16th, the HRC voted unanimously to adopt it, and City Council member and HRC liaison Chris Pryor proudly carried it forward for council adoption as a citywide decision. On this date, President-elect Juan Carlos Valle also launched a MoveOn.org petition for support. During this campaign, University of Oregon Native activists connected with our new civic associate, City Club's new civic associate, Sigvana Topcock, who added public comment as a supporter at Eugene City Council meeting to move the adoption forward. On March 14th, Eugene City Council adopted the resolution to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day on the second Monday of October. Also, I wanted to point out that on January 9th, 2015, Jason Yonker, the Assistant Vice President at the university, also recommended that we do this at a City Club program. Sigvana will be organizing a special celebration for City Club members and supporters of this new holiday as part of her work with the program committee. We'll let you know when the time and place are decided. Your support for the Civic Associate Program made it possible for us to give an allowance to each of the Civic Associates for such celebrations. This will be done entirely under Sigvana's leadership. And now for the program. How can a group of passionate community leaders turn their respective resources into thriving realities that offer opportunities for all? What can city agencies contribute? What is the proper role of schools? How do businesses and developers make achieving their entrepreneurial goals part of the whole fabric of community growth? In four meetings held at the end of 2014, the Bethel Economic Development Task Team identified actions that community partners could take in the following 5 years to create an area that has everything right here. In a conversation about their collaboration, key participants in this work will explain their roles and accomplishments. Greg Evans, City Councilor for Ward 6, will introduce the discussion. He'll explain the vision, rationale, and hope for work in a neighborhood that is also represented by Councilors Claire Surrett and Chris Pryor. Ethan Nelson will talk about the city's role in leveraging resources and maintaining alignment with the overall vision for the city. Debbie Farr, a community member who serves on the Bethel School Board, will describe how the team engaged a variety of stakeholders. Bethel Superintendent Colt Gill will characterize the role of institutions in moving the collective vision forward. Clayton Walker will summarize some of the ways public and private investments can spur redevelopment and bring prosperity. Together, they will describe how the elements of their approach might apply to other areas, report on progress, and suggest next steps.
Thank you, Mary. I really appreciate the opportunity that the City Club has afforded us to speak with you today about our project, which was Building a Better Bethel, but has morphed into Better in Bethel. That was an addition that was developed by Colt Gill, who wanted to underscore the fact that we have a great community already out in the Bethel District. For people who are at home listening to this particular program, let me just outline to you the general dimensions of Bethel. Bethel is encompassing most of Northwest Eugene. So basically everything that is west of the Chambers Connector going along Roosevelt Boulevard, all the way out to the corporation limit, out to Green Hill Road, and then extends further out past the airport to the corporation limit out there. It is a large geographic area. But let me point some things out to you about Bethel that you may or may not know. Bethel has had one of the most rapid growth patterns in the last 10, 15 years in this community. I can literally say that I have lived in Bethel. This is my 30th year living in Eugene. And my wife and I bought our home in Bethel 16 years ago. And I can tell you that the number of subdivisions that have come up since we bought our house is absolutely staggering. So recently, there's another subdivision coming up across from Meadowview School on Barger. There's a couple other that are on the table to move forward. One, I think, is a 53-home project that is coming up on the west side of Avalon Village. So we have rapid, sustained growth in our community. We have young families. We have senior citizens. We have the whole depth and breadth and scope of population diversity, economic diversity, and we have a rich and vibrant community. One of the reasons why I was knocking on the City Club's door is because one of the things I say to people when people talk to me about Bethel is I remember when I came here 30 years ago, a lot of people had some very derisive things to say about the Bethel community. And in the intervening years, before and after I moved into Bethel, and before and after I have represented Bethel in a number of different capacities, you learn what the truth is. You learn what the reality is. And those things that people have said about Bethel are wholly untrue. We have one of the best school districts in the state of Oregon. The Bethel School District, School District 52, is one of the top five performing school districts in Oregon. We are closing the achievement gap in a number of areas in our school district. Colt will talk to you a little bit more about that. I'm sure Debbie will as well. But what I want to talk about is kind of the impetus that developed this planning process for Bethel. When I came on the council in 2013, one of my missions was to raise the level and profile of the Bethel community. That was first, but also taking a deeper look into what Bethel needed. What our people needed. And what our people needed was a plan. But more important was we needed to reassert our vision for our community. Now, being a preacher's kid, I will have to go to the Bible for one quote that has always stuck with me since I was a child. And that is Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Bethel has always had a vision. whether other people in our community saw that or not. And what we are doing with this plan is building on that vision. We are creating a way forward for Bethel that will be a community that our children can live in and our grandchildren can live in for decades to come. One of the things I like to do in my intro is to also acknowledge the people who were really key in developing this vision and this program. One of those is sitting in the audience, my council partner in crime, Chris Pryor, and also Councilor Claire Syrett, who I believe is a member of the City Club as well. And I also see Betty over there too. But Betty, you have to be out of this one. You're on the other side of town with us, but you're with us all the way together. But with that, what I'd like to say is this. We have, in addition to the city councilors, our county commissioner, Pat Farr, has been heavily involved in this. We've had members of the Chamber of Commerce involved in this. I see Larry Newby in the audience, who was part of our task team. And everybody that is up here and part of this dais this afternoon has been heavily involved in this development. Clayton Walker, who has worked with us, you know, arm and shoulder together in working with our business community. Colt, who is representing our school district. Debbie Farr, who is representing not only our school district, but also the community, because she's been in the community a little bit longer than I have. And then Ethan Nelson, who was really our main staff resource in pulling all the disparate parts of this plan together. Let me just talk to you a little bit about what building a better Bethel or better in Bethel is really all about. It's about four key things that I think that we want to focus on today and down the line in the future. And that is economic development and creating a stronger, more robust community. Economic development. We looked at different pieces of economic development to kind of have a signature for Bethel as we move forward. Many of you are aware of the Envision Eugene process and the goals and the pillars and planks of Envision Eugene. One of those is economic development and where development is going to occur in the future. Development is scheduled to occur in our northwest section of Eugene, and more specifically in Bethel. We have a diversity. We have residential, we have farmland, we have industrial properties in Bethel. So how do we bring all of that together, and what specifically do we focus on in terms of our vision? So one of the first things we talked about was leveraging Lane County's vision of a food and beverage industry, which has been growing from the wineries to the breweries in the WIT, and also looking at the issues around food security. Because you know that only 6% of the food that we consume in Lane County comes from Lane County. Most of it comes from San Francisco. So we need to take advantage of the food and beverage industry and the indigenous assets that we have in this community. That's one piece. The second piece we looked at is the fact that we have a lot of land, a lot of open land in Bethel. So we are looking at developing sports and recreation facilities in the future that will not only serve our children, our adults, and our seniors locally, but will also attract out-of-town and regional events, conferences, tournaments, all of those things that really add vibrancy and livability to our community. I can tell you with a 10-year-old daughter who is very active in sports, I get tired of driving to Salem and Portland for tournaments. We can host those tournaments here. We can capture that revenue here. And the third thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the fact that in my ward, and in Bethel, is our Eugene Airport. And if any of you have gone to the Eugene Airport recently, you can see the development and the growth of the Eugene Airport and the ability of us to be able to now network with other parts of the country in a more profound way is another piece of exciting growth that we can bring to our community and that we can create the kind of economic base that we are looking to sustain down the line in the future. And my final point is that we also looked at targeted areas for redevelopment, places where you may see empty lots, buildings that have gone into disrepair, mostly in the 99 corridor. A lot of those buildings, a lot of those empty lots have opportunities for development that we have yet to explore. And so our plan has focused on redevelopment, sports and recreation, the airport, and the food and beverage industry. And with that, I'd like to turn this over to our Intergovernmental Relations Manager for the City of Eugene, Ethan Nelson, who will talk to you about kind of the process and the steps that we went through to create the plan that we have. Because our plan is vibrant, it's robust, and it's active. And we look forward to implementing this plan that will give us the kind of future and the kind of future that our children deserve in this community. So with that, I thank you for your attention. And Ethan, take it away.
Good afternoon, everybody. Ethan Nelson. I'm the Intergovernmental Relations Manager for the City of Eugene. Excuse me. And thank you once again for hosting a discussion around the Better in Bethel project that we all worked diligently on. I think when Councilor Evans came to staff, he had this vision, and we worked together to figure out, okay, how do we do this? And not only how do we do this, but how can we test out some new models in regards to community engagement and neighborhood participation that may serve to be something that we want to replicate into the future. And so we spent that time really looking at let's take on a project that will help, as Councilor Evans had said, to create an implementation plan, an action plan that's maybe 3 to 5 years in length, has got a wide variety of engagement from different stakeholders and within the community. And that, but importantly, also ties on in and implements regional plans such as Envision Eugene, our regional prosperity plan, and a number of other kind of large meta plans that then we can start to get into how do they really come to life in a community, in the neighborhood. So it's really, really focused in on that 3 to 5 years. And early on, what we heard from participants and members was do no harm. So we really want to be engaged, but do no harm. So our approach on this was something where we learned from our work in downtown Eugene, and it was a real simple model. We want to have three component pieces. One of those is building a team. The second is making sure that we have the tools and resources to then implement number three, which is either a strategy or plan. So it's really three simple pieces. Team, which is what we worked on. Developing tools and resources, which the city has a number, the county and other resources throughout the community to bring investments on into the Bethel area, and then really coming up with this strategy and plan. And so as we think about this in terms of a model, how do we come in and be somewhat nimble and look at rather a 20-year plan that creates 4 or 5 years worth of work? How can we look at something that is actionable within the near term, takes maybe 6 months to a year to develop and then pull together, and then you've got some action steps 3 to 5 years. It was at the time that the Ducks were, the football team was moving towards the national championship, and so we were always using this metaphor of, we're not trying to get a touchdown right here. We're trying to get a first down, and to do that, we need to go 5 yards in a play. Let's just get 5 yards down the line and then see where we are and keep moving the ball down the line. With our deliverables, we have a plan, which you can find on betterbethel.com, and we've finally worked out the link, so it lands on the city's website now. And there's an actual PDF of this full plan document. We also have these different action items within this plan, and we'll get into more of those throughout the discussion today, which are really these implementation and who's doing what and when are we going to see some deliverables and who's, you know, the responsibility and the timelines associated with that. And then a communications package. And so on all of your tables, you'll have a Building a Better Bethel map. Please take those with you. And there's also the link to the website there. And that's really this piece of we've got a plan, we've got a strategy, we've got action steps, and we want to communicate that in a manner that is not just policy speak, which you will have here in this, the full document, but also readily available to folks that aren't necessarily policy wonks like me. So it provides that broader approach. I'd like to turn it on over to our guest speakers and engage folks. So Colt will be, or we'll start out with Debbie, and she's really talking about people and the role of the residents in the community. excuse me. Colt will talk about place, the role of institutions in moving this forward, and then Clayton also around prosperity and the role of businesses. So with that, I'll turn it on over to Debbie Farr.
Is it not on? There we go. Thank you. So, as you know, I'm Debbie Farr. My husband Pat and I moved to the Bethel community in 1980. We bought our first house there, and we were told in the community that that's great for a starter home, but it's felony flats, high crime, the school district is terrible. By the time you have a family and your kids are ready to start school, you want to move someplace else. And that didn't pan out for us. We both came from small towns in Oregon. We fell in love with the small town feel of Bethel, but the close proximity to Eugene. We joined a church, Bethesda Lutheran, which is a historic church in Bethel, has very deep history in the region. And then we did start to have a family, and our kids all went through the Bethel School District. And out of those three kids, we have two bachelor's degrees, three master's degrees, and a PhD. So I think they got a pretty good education. I just want to give you a little snapshot of what the Bethel community looks like, because I think a lot of you aren't familiar with Bethel. There's really four distinct neighborhoods, and they're centered around city parks and recreation facilities. We've got the Trainsong neighborhood that's in the Bethel Triangle, Peterson Barn, there's a park and community center there, Echo Hollow, which is a pool and facility, and then Meadowview Park, which is very new, and includes a skate park and a Babe Ruth baseball center. So when Greg was talking about increasing sports activities, this great sports facility is hopefully going to do that. But, you know, Bethel Danabo has a really long history of supporting our schools, so it's no surprise that the community is really school-focused. And really beginning with the earliest known rural schools built in 1848 and 1900. And the one in 1848 was actually built for Danish farming families that had moved to the Danabo area. But, you know, the proof that we support our schools is in the passage of the school bond measure by 74%, which is the second highest voter approval in the state. And we're a community that really demonstrates our appreciation of education by supporting our library. When we heard in the community that our Bethel branch library was in danger of closing, we coalesced, we came together, we fought back, we said we're not going to lose our library, and we were successful. And that same group of community activists were really involved in helping to pass the library bond measure. We have great parks and open spaces in Bethel, some that you probably aren't familiar with. We have beautiful wetlands. We have Meadowlark Prairie and Dragonfly Bend. And if you've never been out there, I encourage you to go. Beautiful place to walk and bike. We also have a place that I'm sure most of you don't know about called Golden Gardens Park. And Golden Gardens Park really came out of a great community effort because it was formerly gravel pits that were just left to fill with water, didn't have emergency access, was very dangerous. All the kids in the area knew about it. Parents told them not to go there, but they did. And it resulted in four boys drowning through the years, including a friend of our daughter's in middle school. And so we came together with the city's support. We turned it into a park, honoring those families that lost their children, but really creating this beautiful park and open space. And, you know, you can go there and see pond turtles and lots of birds, and it's really a wonderful place. I see heads nodding, so I know that you're familiar. It's a great place to be. So we have some wonderful transportation alternatives there. You know, we have good bike and walking trails, and I can thank Greg and Pat and Bobby Green before him for helping with that, and I know we have even more to come. But we are very dependent on our cars. You know, we just don't have things in the Bethel community that many of you that live in other parts of Eugene are used to. And that's something that we hope will change. Also, increased bus transportation. Our granddaughter lived with us for a while. She was going to LCC, and it took her an hour to get from where we live to LCC. So that's 2 hours of travel a day. So many kids choose to drive their cars. And if we want to decrease the number of cars that we have driven, then we've got to figure out a better public transportation system. But really, what I want to leave you with is we moved to Bethel because we bought our first house there. We're now living in our third house. We stayed because we wanted to be part of the community. We wanted to be part of the diverse tapestry that makes Bethel what it is. And we'll continue to work to build the better Bethel that we know exists and is in our future.
Thanks, Debbie. I'm Colt. I get to work with students and families and teachers in the Bethel community, and I couldn't be happier for that opportunity. And I'm super, super excited about this transformation that we've begun and are continuing in our community. I am the educator in the group, so I have been likening it to that book, The Little Engine That Could. I don't know if you all remember that, but you know, it's the I think I can, and then it reaches that goal, makes it over the hill. And this has been a pretty small grassroots effort that really thinks it can, and step by step, it has been making things happen. We've been investing in our schools, beautifying our neighborhoods. We've seen success from community gardens to boasting some of the highest graduation rates in the area, the highest international baccalaureate test scores and diploma rates. So we've really begun to shift things in our community. And while we have these great communities and we have really strong educational outcomes now, it is still an area of Eugene with some of the greatest poverty, though. And that's the next step that we're taking on. So we're in the midst of, I think, a really incredible neighborhood transformation, you know, something on the level of what people have witnessed with Whitaker over the recent years. Like that little engine that could, we think we can, and we will make it up that hill to success. And I think our public agencies are really stepping in to support this effort. The city has been a critical partner and really our organizational leader in this work. Greg Evans has been our instigator with Councilors Syrett and Pryor along the way, helping with the task team and with moving it forward through the city and council efforts. And then our staff lead, Ethan Nelson, has been engaged throughout the process and keeping us organized and moving. So it's been super helpful. This, I think, is built on the partly on the shoulders of some new school construction that we did in Bethel School District recently. And at that time, Mayor Piercy and City Manager John Reese were instrumental in seeing sort of the untapped potential in West Eugene. And they helped us cut through red tape, kind of high fees around permitting and long waits, and helped us develop and save enough money so that we could create the first LEED certified K-12 public school in the South Willamette Valley and the only LEED certified building in the Bethel community. So we're super proud of that work and that partnership with the city. It's helped us build a lot of trust in our community and create new partnerships between the district and the community members in the city of Eugene, and that's been great. On this particular project, they're doing the same kind of work for our entire community. So they're developing, and when you get a chance to look at the book that Ethan held up, the city is developing fast-track permitting processes for us, reviewing helpful zone changes, code amendments, reviewing the enterprise zone criteria and expanding it to match our UGB. A lot of those kinds of efforts to clear the path for development and redevelopment, and I think that's really critical work. At the school district, we first and foremost focus on our own mission because we want to serve our community now and in the future. And that means that we focus on creating a strong school system with innovative and varied programs that we think meet the needs of all of our learners. We try really hard to go out and hire the most talented folks and create an atmosphere that provides for a very dedicated staff, a dedicated staff to our community. We have the area's leading success statistics, and we have really strong community support because of those things. I think our families know that we care a lot about their children, and we're doing everything we can to help them succeed. Related to this particular project, we branch out from that. We are focusing on workforce readiness. And so we have 11 professional quality workforce development programs that deliver great training to students and also provide them with college credits. So our most recent one is we're developing an agricultural project with called the Bethel Farm Project. It's a 5-acre farm that's going to be an organic farm that produces food for the school meal program, along with native plant restoration for Lane County areas. And we're doing that in partnership with Willamette Farm and Food and the Oregon Community Foundation. So it's some fantastic work going on with that. We have a sheet metal apprenticeship program with the local sheet metal workers union. We have a metal fabrication program. These kids work with teams to design, build, test, and race electric cars. We have our culinary arts program where students work with local chefs to design menus and develop their culinary skills for competitions that they enter into across the country. We have a motion graphics program where they create digital video media, a business management program, a health occupations program, computer-based graphic arts for marketing, art, and advertising, design and manufacturing where we just installed our new laser cutters and 3D printers so students can develop parts from scratch. We have an automotive technician program, and we have AutoCAD drafting, wood-based construction programs, and electronics and robotics. So those are our kind of focus on workforce development. I put sheets out at the tables that have little QR codes. If you use your smartphones, things like that, you can get to videos that share much better than I could just by reading off a list what those programs look like and how they impact the lives of our kids. The other video that's on that little sheet that I passed out, and we can share those links with KLCC so the radio members can, our listeners can see those videos as well. But the other one is around college readiness, and we think that's a key to our community's long-term success. So we have a very high-performing international baccalaureate and advanced placement program that has been preparing kids for success at universities like Yale, University of Chicago, Stanford, UCLA, Brown, and Princeton. These students enter those schools as sophomores or sometimes even juniors because of the credits they've earned in high school, and they return and serve our community and improve our community. So I think that's another critical place. We have definitely committed to the work of our next speaker, Clayton Walker, who's helped develop the Bethel Community Alliance. And we love using our tools for publicizing the best of Bethel. So we have social media, and we have 6,000 families that sing the praises of our community now and are helping to leak out that secret that Bethel is actually a warm, welcoming, and successful community. We also help with the beautification of our area with community garden support and in big ways like bringing in our new schools and improving neighborhoods with those. And in small ways where we have high school leadership students who do what they call rake and runs. So they select neighborhood homes and they run in there, they rake up their yard in the fall and take away all the leaves and then they run away and don't tell them who did it. So just cute things like that. And I think the final group in our three major institutions is the county, and that's been through the leadership of Commissioner Farr and staff that have been involved in our project all along the way. Their focus has been really on the economic development side of things and land development. Sarah Case has been the county staff that's been a part of our task team. And Lane County Economic Development has made grants available, especially to those food-based industries that Councillor Evans talked about. There are over 150 food processing businesses in Lane County, and many of those are in the Bethel area. When you think of Carmen's Chips, Chocolate Decadence, Oakshire Brewing is actually a Bethel company that has a little outlet in the WIT, Glory Be Honey, and so many more. So the county focused on ongoing branding work for these companies and is helping them get off the ground and getting their products out to an even broader audience than Lane County. And they are also going to be very involved with our beautification efforts as we think of Bethel as that corridor from the airport into the city of Eugene, into the heart of Eugene. So I think I will stop there and just, I think it's clear that this little engine is rolling and is going to make it up that hill. So we have a lot going on. Clayton?
Thank you. I'm Clayton Walker. I don't live in Bethel. I am, however, a property owner in Bethel, and I am the chair of the West Eugene Community Organization, and have been, not a lifelong, I wasn't born in Eugene, but I did come here in 1956, which puts me in the old-timer category. Bethel has always been a great for me because we had friends and we visited Bethel. And one of my favorite memories as growing up is going to Bethel Park and watching Eugene Emeralds at Bethel Park, which hopefully the baseball can come back. And we've got to find fields in the Bethel area. And this sports center that Councilor Evans has been referring to, I think, will be a tremendous boon for the whole community. The Bethel Community Alliance was formed as one of the original task items that came out of the initial group that met. I think we were number three to form a community alliance. And I was asked with Colt Gill to help organize that and find out what would that look like. The Community Alliance was formed then to make the slogan Better in Bethel not just an acknowledgement of the positive attributes of the great community, but to take aggressive steps to make the neighborhood even greater. To accomplish this, the goal of the alliance was to bring together representatives from the agencies, government, the faith community, business community, and neighborhood leaders, which we have at this point over 30 individuals from across that broad spectrum of interests that have already agreed to be on the Bethel Community Alliance. They're just incredible, the response we've received. They include not just LTD and EWEB and the city and the county, but also Peace Health and a number of community organizations. Several churches have already signed up. I was asked, it was kind of a surprise to me, to ask about not just the development and redevelopment of Bethel, but also what are you going to do about making our goal of prosperity? And I just want to be clear up front, that's above my pay grade. I'm not going to be the one, but we are actually going to supply, hopefully, the tools and this group of elected officials has been very gracious in helping us provide tools that we need. This is a great opportunity to organize and use this approach for the improvement of Bethel. So we took the approach that anything we can do to improve the lives of the citizens of Bethel and to improve the image of Bethel, which by extension will improve the image of the entire city, would be helpful. One of our motivations has been the 2021 International Track event that's coming, so it's given us a deadline for the improvement of this area. We have got a few bullet points of things we'd like to accomplish. The Bethel community interest beautification, so add some trees, some flowers, some welcome signs, color bursts. We found a 1987 entrance beautification study, which has been adopted by ordinance to the city of Eugene, and we're going to springboard off of that to improve the entrances. The community identity, we're going to also springboard off existing Bethel events that are around the Peterson Barn and other parks that will help the neighborhoods grow. Crime. Would like to look at increasing neighborhood watch, lighting, police outreach, anti-tagging, and graffiti plans. We're using our members that are involved in the public health community, we would like to raise the health awareness programs in the area. Economic improvement, which is one area that was the focus of the Community Alliance, we'd like to set benchmarks and so we can show where we've improved the household income relative to the rest of the city, address the needs of low-income housing, hold job fairs, hold information forums, dialogue with employers, help identify and facilitate redevelopment in key corridors. We've already used city and county resources like the Brownsfields Committee has already been used to success in the redevelopment process of some of these properties. And we want to work to attract businesses and restaurants to the Bethel area as a group. Land use and transportation, identify specific properties and neighborhoods that would benefit from improvement, and identify properties and neighborhoods that would benefit from land use rules, revisiting those that may have or may not have worked. Many of the land use rules that were that are in place in the Bethel area and specifically the 99 corridor were put in place 50-plus years ago, and they don't work necessarily, and we just need a little help in addressing how those have been taken advantage of. We like add transportation for all modes. And finally, I'd just like to say how much I appreciate the work of our elected officials. I have not been a part of anything like this before, and I've been involved in city organizations for 40 years. And this, I think, has the opportunity to really be a template for future organizations to improve communities. And with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Ethan.
Thank you. Today's topic is working together to build a better Bethel. Our speakers are Greg Evans, Ethan Nelson, Debbie Farr, Colt Gill, and Clayton Walker. We'll break now for a few minutes and then return with members' questions.
You're tuned to KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend, KMPQ Roseburg. We're on the web at klcc.org, on Facebook and Twitter, and we have an app for your smartphone or tablet. This is KLCC, NPR for Oregonians.
Welcome back to the March 18th City Club program, Working Together to Build a Better Bethel. Our speakers are Greg Evans, Ethan Nelson, Debbie Farr, Colt Gill, and Clayton Walker. City Club members, please identify yourselves and keep your questions to about 30 seconds each.
Good evening. Thank you all for being here. Linda Hamilton with Blacks in Government. What are some practical first steps for residents to take to help build a better Bethel?
So I think you're asking how can they be involved, right?
Yes.
So I think they could go to the website. Is there a way for them to communicate with us via our website? So I think that's something that we need to do is put something on the website so if someone's interested in being involved, then they can let us know, like have a contact us form, and then, you know, we would welcome their input. I think also, we haven't got to this stage yet, but I think that we probably need to schedule some listening sessions where we can really bring the community together and kind of inform them what we're doing and then hear from them what they think is important to them in making the Bethel community better.
And I would just add on that there's an Active Bethel Citizens Neighborhood Association to be able to go and get involved with the neighborhood group, but then also the Bethel School District has a school board that has public meetings and involvement there, and as Colt has explained, the school district is a leader in this area, and then always city council meetings coming and providing your input there in support or asking for additional focus. I think those are maybe three of the main ways, and as we work with Clayton and Colt to put more sideboards around the Community Alliance and how to make that a much more robust engagement, there hopefully will be opportunities for action at that point too. So.
Thank you.
Rostein, City Club member. It was nice to hear all the very positive things that go on in Bethel, especially for me because I wasn't really familiar with it. At our table, though, we would like to find from each one of you what you see as a major challenge to being in Bethel and making it grow and happen.
You know, I appreciate that question because, as Debbie alluded to earlier in her remarks, when I came to Eugene 30 years ago in 1986, people would refer to the Bethel community as Felony Flats. And, you know, in some respects, some of that still goes on today. What I like to tell people is this: we're the Rodney Dangerfield of Eugene. We get no respect, but we are beginning to get much more respect now. And, you know, from a substantive point of view, you know, we do have an image issue in Bethel. A lot of people, you know, come out to Bethel for two things. They go to Winco, or three things, I should say. They go to Winco because it's the best prices in town. You go out and take your kids out there for, you know, ball games or whatever. You go to Bethel Park if you're playing, you know, Babe Ruth baseball or whatever the case may be, or over behind Shasta for the softball fields, or you're going to the airport. We want people that are going to stop in Bethel, engage in Bethel, and stay in Bethel, and, you know, make that part of the city that is part of their thinking as well, because we are a part of the city of Eugene. We have been for over 50 years. So, you know, we're not, you know, someplace that's far off and far flung. We're only a few miles up the road. But I'll let Ethan go.
I would say that challenge is with every vision, it's finding the resources and the investment necessary. And so once again, I'll make the plug, betterbethel.com. For radio listeners, that if you go there, you'll find informational materials. And one of the materials that we put together is a map that on the backside talks about targeted public investments and supporting private investments. So those happen because people invest either their time or their financial resources, and or institutions do. And so continuing to mount that challenge and be able to invest time and money on Into Bethel to accomplish the items and really bring that vision to fruition.
And I think one of the challenges is the sheer size of Bethel. So it's very large. And you've got all these individual neighborhoods. So, you know, even as we're increasing development and we're providing restaurants and coffee shops and things like that that I think we all would like to see there, you know, they're not always going to be someplace that we can walk to, depending on where we live. So, I mean, I think that's a barrier that we have to recognize.
Wow. I think those are all great ones. So, I agree that what Debbie said, ABC, Active Bethel Citizens, is Eugene's largest neighborhood association. And it really could be three or four separate neighborhood associations because there are other distinct neighborhoods there. And I think that transportation is a challenge. So some of our streets are lacking sidewalks. Some of them are fairly high speed, you know, 40 mile an hour streets. So it's tricky for families always to get to the great parks or the great schools, or we had the Oakshire Tasting Room and things like that, it's difficult to get there. You have to drive everywhere. So I think improving transportation and walkable routes is a challenge for us.
Thank you. One of the challenges for redevelopment are the historic ways in which Bethel was developed. And it's difficult to change those. Those patterns have set limits on the depths of the commercial lots. It is the way retail is developed today is different, as you can see along Barger, where Winco is different than where the Gilbert Shopping Center is. Those lot configurations cannot be just overcome without wholesale tearing down of neighborhoods, which I don't encourage at all. So that's going to take some creativity, and it's going to take some working together with the city planning in order to come up with alternatives and working with people who want to redevelop their properties in a way that is going to have to be outside the box. And so those are challenges that we face throughout Bethel to get, for instance, a nice sit-down restaurant. Just an Outback or something would be nice. However, we're still facing those historic planning decisions that are 40, 50, 60 years old. So that's a problem.
I'm Emily Semple, member of the City Club. My table was interested in transportation. Some of this was talked about already. Recognizing that good transportation protects the livability of our neighborhoods, makes it easier to get to work, and also is one of the first ways we can affect our carbon emissions. In a process called Moving Ahead, the City of Eugene and Lane Transit District are exploring improvements for people who walk, bicycle, or ride the bus, including along Highway 99. What improvements are you hearing from the neighborhoods and neighbors? What do they want? Thank you.
So I'm going to pass this off to Greg, but just before that, so as I mentioned that about the sidewalk issues and some of those busy roads, I do want to add, though, that you will discover if you hit the bike pass and you hit the Fern Ridge Trail leaving Eugene, you will find some of the most amazing pristine bike paths in all of Eugene in the Bethel area as well. So it's not that they don't exist, it's just that you have to find your way to them. And I'll pass this to Greg for the LTD talk.
That's a good question. Some of you may know that I spent 6.5 years on the LTD board. And one of the things that happened when I was on the LTD board in 2010 because of the downturn in the economy was that we had to cut bus service 20% in this community. And the outlying areas, specifically my area being one of those areas, suffered, and we had to do rerouting, and we had less transit available to our residents then. We're trying to add that back right now, but here's the other issue, too. With Moving Ahead, we're looking at trying to develop corridors like Highway 99, like River Road, so that we can have high-capacity transit, whether that's MX or some other form of high-capacity transit. We'll see how that all lays out in the months and the years to come. But we do need to have things like neighborhood circulators and a reconfiguration of our transit system so that we could be more accommodating to, you know, a multimodal way of engaging transportation. The other piece is this. We have bike paths in our community, but some of our streets have not developed in a way that has accommodated the bike paths that we need for Bethel. So there's some things that are being done to relook at and reconfigure, you know, that engagement as well. So what we're trying to do is, over time, create a walkable, bikeable, transit-friendly area. And that's going to take a heavy lift and a lot of work. But I think that you'll see a number of our residents deeply committed to that.
Dina Wills, City Club member. Our table was interested in the schools, especially that you said the school was really good. And I believe this question would be to you, Mr. Gill. How many pupils do you have in the average class in your school system? And do you have art and music classes, which have disappeared from many of the Eugene schools?
Yep, I'll try my best to answer that. So overall in our school system, we have just under 6,000 students and 11 schools. So the class sizes do vary. And I'll be really honest and upfront, we're very challenged by class size, just like school districts across Oregon are. And we are about to move into another budget battle this spring as we talk about funding our schools for next year, which may further impact class size. But right now, our class sizes at elementary level are anywhere from our smallest class at one of our smaller schools has 16 students in it, all the way up to 32 to 33 students in some of our fifth grade classes. So we are very challenged by that. music and art. So the Bethel School Board, and I might pass this over to Debbie Farr, who sits on our board, has always been very, very supportive of music programs in our community. And we have band rooms that are lined around the ceiling with double rows of shelves for all the awards that they've won at jazz competitions. And so there is music kindergarten through 12th grade, both instrumental at the middle and high school level and vocal at all levels. And we have art programs. Some of those, we have art programs at middle and high school with art teachers, and then we bring artists in residence in to the elementary schools. We have kilns in each school and things like that. But we also try to grow our art program into our workforce readiness part. So we have what we call motion graphics, so digital video creation, and we have graphic arts, so they use computers to create art. And so we're shifting some of the art focus as well.
Thank you. Or, you know, I can just add to that, being the parent of a fifth grader, my daughter's getting an excellent education. She's bringing home straight A's, and she's already smarter than her dad, so.
Jerry Smith, City Club Mayor since 2003. On 99, on the edge of your wonderful district, are two of the Lane County's best managed agencies helping the poor and nonprofit, one being Sponsors and the other being St. Vinny's Lindholm Service Center. I hope you will find ways to get volunteers from them, to collaborate with them, and maybe even find employment as they seem to be growing.
So I'll just jump in before Councillor Evans here and say both of those agencies have been really strong partnerships with some of our collective work and definitely with the school district. Sponsors is one of the organizations that's helping to beautify that Highway 99 corridor. They're great neighbors to the other folks along there. And St. Vincent de Paul is a strong neighborhood with the city and the school district in eWeb with the Veterans Housing Program. So we service some of those families and provide some of the homes for that program. And it's been a great partnership between the three organizations.
Thanks, Jerry Smith, for asking that. Pat Farr, I'm a City Club member since originally 2004. And I have a question, but first, you forgot why we moved to Bethel. Back in 1977, I took a job at a little tiny hardware store that, while I was there, got pretty big, called Jerry's. So during my 20 years or so there, we grew a little bit. And I hired a lot of Bethel students during that period of time. My question is, you know, sports have always been really big in Bethel. Clayton alluded to the Civic Stadium used to be in Bethel, the Bethel Park. And in the back of the room right now, Dave Perez and Julie Hines are sitting back there. And you talked a little bit about they're with the YMCA. You talked a little bit, Greg, about a sports complex. And Clayton, you did also. We do have the Babe Ruth fields, which are more or less closed. We have a nice park at Shasta. But so what are we going to do for sports? Recently we had the state championship basketball team, the girls' basketball team was from Bethel. We've had the state championship track teams in Bethel, number one ranked football teams in Bethel. So sports are big. What are we going to do as far as the sports complexes are concerned? And what is the future of perhaps bringing the M's to Bethel?
Well, there are a couple of things that we're looking at as far as the vision down the road with that. The YMCA is a significant part of that, and I missed that in my opening remarks. I see Dave back there and Julie back there as well. Bethel is going to eventually get a West Eugene YMCA, and we're looking at that in the Meadowview area. Right there at Meadowview, right there at Legacy and Barge, or in that particular area. So we're really looking forward to that and adding capacity for recreation for our residents in the area. But also, we are looking at Golden Gardens and developing Golden Gardens as a opportunity for a new sports facility that can host regional tournaments, games, and sporting events for local citizens in our area.
Thank you, Greg Evans, Ethan Nelson, Debbie Farr, Colt Gill, and Clayton Walker for bringing clarity and vision to this City Club program, working together to build a better Bethel. And thanks again to our sponsors, Sacred Earth Botanicals, KRVM 91.9 FM, and Marilyn Minley at the Public Relations Services. Special thanks to John Borofsky of La Perla Pizzeria and Joel Pomeranz of the Oregon Hotel and Restaurant Association for hosting the final session of the course, Lane County's Economy and Employment, which City Club offers for teachers in collaboration with Lane ESD and Lane Workforce Partnership. Join us on Friday, March 25th for the program, The State of Visual Arts in Eugene. Additional information about these programs, parking, and lunches will be available on the City Club's website. Thank you again for our time. Let's give a round of applause for a wonderful program.